Lou Donaldson on his alto sax with Blues Walk. It's the title track of his 1958 album. Herman Foster on piano, Peck Morrison on bass, Dave Bailey on drums, and Dre Barreto on congas. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm hoping that you were with us on Friday and with us, you are with us today. It's been a monumental weekend of all kinds of developments. But first, we'll tackle the most immediate one, and that is this coronavirus and what it's doing. We know that we have had the first confirmation of two deaths in the United States. So by the wayside goes the president's assertion that things are going very well. Things are going quite well. And they have the problem in hand. Well, he's about to learn in the next couple of days or weeks just how well in hand everything is. It's not in hand. It's the nature of a major virus that it would cause incredible devastation. And that's where I think our conversation should start. We've talked about it, you know, what your feelings are about it. What are you doing in the face of conclusive, I would say, proof that this is not a one-shot deal. This is a very serious virus. All over the world, reports from all over the world that it is not showing any signs of abating. In some cases, it has increased in its intensity, as have the deaths attributed to it. So this is not a small matter. This is not a, take two aspirin and you'll feel better in the morning kind of thing. We don't know yet where it came from or how it started, but we do know that it exists. And I'm thinking that anyone who at this stage is still insisting that it doesn't exist, or it is something other than what the whole world is saying it is, we really have to re-examine your brain, because this is not a simple matter. Like I say, of taking two aspirin and you get better in the morning. Not at all. So with that in mind, I just wanted to ask a few questions. Put them on the table. What is your level of concern right now? Are you very concerned, somewhat concerned, not concerned at all? How are you taking this rapidly developing story? How are you preparing, if you are preparing? How are you preparing? How do you observe your community reacting? How are people, your neighbors, people in your neighborhood, how do you see them reacting? If at all. And still there are people who believe it is coronavirus is some kind of hoax, some sort of plot, some kind of germ warfare. We even had, I think it was Trump himself who said it, that the virus is a form of political warfare by the Democrats. I mean, really, what kind of thinking is this at the top level of our government? So I just want to know, because we've talked about getting prepared and so forth without having conniptions and strokes behind it, but that doesn't mean you don't take it seriously. You take this very seriously, and as I urged you, prepare, begin to prepare in your own way. Prepare, find out from your community organizations, from health pages on the internet. How should we prepare? I don't want to give anybody any instructions, but I'll tell you what I intend to do and have begun to do, which is you store some items that you think if things go west, you can survive for about a month without having to go to the supermarket because they may be closed, or, you know, assuming that things would still be in place. Don't assume. Begin the process, not, you know, with a sense of frenzy or, you know, in a state of calamity, but just methodically and logically begin the process of preparing for something major happening in your community as a result of this virus, so that you have on hand things that can get you through, you know, supplies that you would need, chief among them food and water, and other things that you think you would need. You don't have to go to the store tomorrow and buy everything from out of the store, but make a list. You have to think carefully about what you're about to do and then execute your plan. Begin to execute your plan. We have no idea how this is going to go. We have no idea about the intensity of it. But just keep this in mind. In the United States, the flu has killed more people than the virus so far. And this has been going on for years. As of January the 18th, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there have been, with the flu, according to its Flu View Surveillance Report, the United States has suffered 15 million cases of the flu as of January 1918, with 140,000 hospitalizations and 8,200 deaths. Now, isn't that something? We haven't heard these figures, but they're real. They happened. They occurred. They are authenticated. So, if the health experts are saying this coronavirus is even more lethal than the flu, we can't be casual about it. You see? So all I'm saying is, without running out in the street and screaming your head off, which will get you nowhere, just begin in your own way and organize as best you can with people you know, so that you don't become, you know, people don't look at you as a person spreading all this havoc. No, you're just taking a logical approach to being able to sustain yourself should it come to that for a short period of time. I'd say about a month. It could be more, but whatever you're comfortable with. And try and get a handle for yourself on this. But first, I really would like to know, what are you thinking about it? I mean, what is your thought process as this case, as this global virus becomes more and more prevalent and becomes more and more dangerous? And in the United States in particular, where we have a president saying, don't worry, everything is okay. We have everything in hand. Well, that's good. We're glad that you think so. But for yourself, you still must move in a way to protect yourself, to safeguard yourself in the event of any major development. It may be traffic, or maybe places or blocks that would be locked down and nobody going in and nobody coming out. It may be something like that. It would be something like food shortages. You go to the supermarket and there's nothing to be had. Don't put yourself in that situation. And in any case, whatever you stash, you should be able to use, because it's non-perishable. That's a good thing. 888-874-4888. How are you coping? What are you thinking about this development? Is this something that concerns you greatly? Do you consider the coronavirus some kind of hoax, as the president himself has called it, a hoax, or some kind of plot, or some kind of germ warfare directed at the United States? I'm concerned about your state of mind, our collective state of mind, as things develop. Because after all, it is our only real weapon against being completely diverted, and we should keep our heads on as things become more and more crazy. 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear from you as we start up the program. The second half of the program will be something else, but let's get your feelings heard. What are you thinking? This is a very important time. And I'm interested in how you're managing, how you're thinking, what is your rationale, how do you operate day to day with all these stories coming out, and they all are, they're not nice stories. They're telling us that we're in for a rough time and possibly very soon. But let's know how you're preparing. Let's know what the temperature is in your community. What do you figure you will do in the immediate future in order to deal with this crisis that has developed? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I don't see any calls yet. And if not, we just move on to our second part of the program. 888-874-4888. So I was feeling a little funny, and as you can tell, I have a cold. I've had it for some time now, and I'm beginning to question, do I need to go someplace to have it checked out? But really, this is a very serious time, and we have to operate as logically as possible, not in an alarmist way. I'm cautioning against it. It's not good for you. It's not good for your community that you become so alarmed by it that you lose control of yourself. There's no question, it is developing, and people are watching, eyes are watching, that it should not, hoping that it should not develop into a pandemic, which is the same disease or virus showing up all over the world. It's already captured quite a few locations, and people are suffering. But there's also a fight. The medical community is fighting. I look at the pictures of medical personnel taking care of infected people, and it dawned on me that we don't really, in regular life, we don't pay attention to these people. And yet there they are. They have families too, they have children, they have people who they are concerned about, but they are on the front line, and we should always send some good energy to them, that they do their jobs and come out okay. From Long Island, is it L? From Long Island?
Hello?
Yes, is it L?
Yes, it
Okay, you're on the air.
is. Okay, thank you for this is the first time calling and tuned in on your program rather late, but I heard you mention asking us to basically say how this horrific event has affected us mentally.
Yes.
Physically, what are we doing? First of all, I'd like to say that I wasn't really, shall I say, startled or quite upset. But from studying history, I know that certain things have been done to produce certain situations. So instead of just saying, oh, what a dilemma, I just said, well, let us try to get as much information as possible. The fact that the virus was basically hidden, that is, the progress or the movement of it, the number of people that were affected, and even a front stating or giving the assurance to the people that we've got it covered and there's nothing to worry about. I think that's quite deceptful. And being quite deceptful leads me to believe what is the actual cause or source of this
Well,
virus?
it's a golden question. Everybody wants to know where did this come from? And
Right.
the answer for the moment is we don't know. We haven't
No,
been
that.
given an explanation of that. And we are told that even the authorities, the people in charge, don't yet know.
You know, the young doctor who was who had dis I hate to use the word discovered, but who became aware and was quite concerned. He was the one of the earliest fatalities of the disease. And, you know, I hear so many things that the question is this something that has been a man-made disease that has basically gone havoc? In other words, you know, you create something with the intention of controlling and having it basically spread in one area, and by some misfortune, okay, it backfires on you.
But we don't know.
And it's we, now
you should operate from the point
out of
view.
Control.
You should operate from the point of view for the moment that we have no information about how this started, where it started, why it started. We have no information.
We have no information, and that leads us to basically speculate on the possibility.
No, speculation is not good. And I'll tell you why.
It's not good, but it's human.
It's maybe human, but it's also not good. When you speculate, especially about something like this, you risk being an agent of propaganda. You risk being someone spreading false information. We just don't know. So, I mean, your points are well taken, because pretty much everybody I know is asking the same question, myself included. Where did this come from? How could this happen? Why is it spreading so fast? Why is it spreading in a particular area and not in others? These are very valid questions, but to speculate as to the answer, now that puts us in deep water, at least for the moment. We have to wait a little bit more, a little bit longer, to see what surfaces, if anything, as a plausible explanation. But we don't have that. Right now, what we can do is, in a sense, check our own responses to it in terms of preparedness and check with our neighbors and friends as to how they are prepared to cope with the possibility that it could spread. And therefore, it would definitely concern them. That's the work we can do right now, because we have no answers. And we shouldn't pretend that we do, simply because we are asking the questions. We still don't have answers. And the hope is that somewhere, somehow, soon, there will be. But for now, it is about talking to people and to reassure ourselves that we're doing what we can to protect ourselves in the event that something terrible happens. Thanks for calling. Ephraim Edgewater, you're on the air.
Well, I was at the store the other day. I noticed the shelves are pretty empty, so people must be stocking up on food. I've been doing the same things that I've been doing since 9/11, because you got to be ready for anything that they throw at us. You never know what's going to happen. And if this is some kind of thinning of the herd, you know, you could be skeptical, and you can't really count out everything. I mean, they bombard us with chemtrails and 5G technology, vaccines, all kinds of things. You have to be prepared. The most important thing is to keep your immune system boosted up. You know, take a lot of good herbs, elderberry, astragalus. Listen to Gary Null. He gives you all the information, the things to take to keep your immune system strong. That's what I focus on. Exercise, try to get fresh air, stay out of crowds. They're talking about canceling the Olympics, possibly. Maybe all these rallies Trump gives and Bernie, they might have to cancel anything that attracts big crowds, sporting events, baseball games. Who knows what's going to happen? But,
what's the mood in your community? How are people in your community reacting, as you notice?
Well, I'm in Florida, as you know, and it really hasn't impacted us yet too much, so I haven't noticed anything at all, really, except for, like I said, went to the store last night, and I noticed the shelves were kind of sparsely packed up there, not too many things on the shelf, but try not to eat too much dairy products to keep your, you know, from getting clogged up. And fresh water, always keep a lot of extra water on hand. Like I said about the hurricane, you know, in case power goes out, you got 6 or 7 gallons of water in your freezer, frozen, so in case something happens, you got that in there already. And, be prepared, like the Boy Scout thing. Be prepared at all times and keep your head. Don't get panicky. That's very important, too. People shouldn't panic. Keep yourself nice and composed and try to just take it like everything else that we have to deal with in life.
All right. I think that's sane advice you're sharing. Thank you. And as a, living in Florida, I know you're familiar with when we have hurricanes and storms, we know that we have to get things in order so that we can live, if possible, without electricity for a while. And under certain conditions that we would find very stressful, but we are preparing. We are always preparing for, some kind of an emergency, what we will have to do in order to keep going. Thanks, Eve, for your call today. 888-874-4888. We can take another call before we take a break. This is important, and don't let anybody think that this is, a casual matter. Take it seriously. Take it very seriously. Make sure that your friends and your loved ones take it seriously too. We all hope and pray that nothing untoward happens. That's the best of all outcomes. But what we're saying is that we are already on notice that it is possible that things can develop and develop worse than we anticipated. So we have to prepare. And I take that advice from E from Edgewater very seriously. Most important thing is to remain calm. Don't get excited to the point where you lose your mind. And you're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. Well, it is so clear, because even he admitted it, black votes have saved Joe Biden's campaign. Hip, hip, hooray. But my question is why? I know it sounds like a mean question, but it isn't a mean question. Why would blacks opt to vote en masse for Joe Biden? That's the question. Do you have the answer? 888-874-4888. Up until the South Carolina election, Biden admittedly was doing very poorly, as he should. I mean, he didn't come across with a lot of energy. He didn't come across as if, there was a point to voting for him. But I'm more concerned about the black vote, that so much energy was pumped into Joe Biden, who doesn't necessarily have a good relationship. That storied relationship, how close he is to blacks and how he understands blacks and how blacks understand him. And we have James Clyburn basically handling the effort to drum up the black vote for Joe Biden. And it worked. It worked spectacularly. So I'm asking the question, have we lost our minds? Have we lost focus? Have we lost our memory? Do we not recall that Biden's history, his entire political history, has rested on the idea that black folks will vote for him? They don't require anything. No, should I say it? No quid pro quo here. Just give me the votes. Just give me the votes and I'll say a word or two of thanks. But then we'll see you the next election year. So do you have an answer to this question? What is this supposed to mean? That Joe Biden's entire political presidential campaign rested on the black vote and the blacks delivered. 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello, Yatrice. How
yes.
are you?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you now, too. Basically, pertaining to Joe Biden's victory in South Carolina, I posed you, it wasn't a vote for Joe Biden, it's a vote against Trump. And African-American people of a certain age and a certain demographic feel that he is the logical, optimal choice to have a chance to beat Trump. They don't understand democratic socialism. They don't understand Bernie Sanders. He's bigger on the East Coast than he is down South. And Biden carries the cachet of being associated with President Obama. And I've got a lot of relatives in the South, and Obama walked on water, and Joe Biden held his coat. So, that's basically what got him over. That's basically what got him over. I mean, he's associated with Obama. People like the good feeling that Obama gave it, despite of the lack of results, in my opinion. But that's the cachet that Joe Biden is riding on. Is it enough to carry him through the whole course? I don't believe so. I really don't think so.
What is it that the black voters think they will get from Joe Biden that they wouldn't get from any other candidate?
Well, it isn't a point of looking at what we're going to get from the Democratic Party or Joe Biden on that aspect. I believe it's a vote against Trump. Everybody, the majority of people that I've talked to personally and that I believe is the consensus is we got to get this guy out. And they're looking at a fail-safe or best or what I always say, the best of the worst option. And a lot of people feel that Biden is the best of the worst. And he carries the cachet of Obama. And Obama, I'll tell you, in the South especially, Obama was like the second coming. I mean, people didn't believe in their lifetimes that they would see an African-American as president. And Joe Biden basked in that aura, no matter what his, because we all know if you look at his political record, it has no real value pertaining to African Americans in general. He was for busing. He worked with the Dixiecrats. He worked with Southern Republicans. So I mean, he's basking in a false light of a two-term president who he was his understudy, and that's what people are going with. I mean, people are just grabbing at straws.
Okay.
That's basically
then
what it is.
I understand it because of your phrasing. People are grabbing at straws. But isn't it time that people ought to grab at straws that can save their lives?
Well, people
instead
don't
of
understand
just grabbing at straws?
Well, people don't understand politics. Like I said before, I'll say it again. This is not the time to go national. This is the time to concentrate locally. I'm going to vote because I believe in exercising the franchise, but I'm going to vote down the ballot. There are local officials, city councilmen, there are local senators, there are local congressmen that are doing good work, and they need support, and I'm going to vote for them, and I'm not going to write in the top ticket. Or I'll write something in. I'll write in my name. I'll write in something else. But vote down the ballot. D.C. aren't offering us anything as far as African Americans. They're not making any consensus. I mean, there was a little talk about reparations in the beginning, but that's been poo-pooed. Bernie doesn't even want to talk about really addressing our specific problems in this country, which have been neglected for the past 400 years, in my opinion. So vote down the ballot and forget about the executive's head. chief office, because there's nothing, right. In my personal opinion, there's nothing there.
All right. Thank you so much for getting us started on this topic. Gail from Queens, what are you thinking about this?
Tom, after reading that maybe 1.5% of people die, and...
Lee, we are on to a new topic now. We're talking about Joe Biden.
Oh, okay. I've been holding on for 25 minutes. I'll call another day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I'm sorry about that. Bruce from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, hello, you, Trish.
Hello.
Your question today, though simple, is pregnant with meanings. I must admit that I disagree for once with your first caller, Ed, on a number of points he raised. My own feeling about the people in South Carolina and Joe Biden is that the people of South Carolina have a collective imagination that is located in a bygone era. You know, and that is not a compliment. Ed admits that South Carolina have none to the black people in South Carolina have none to gain by voting for Biden, right? And even if that was the metric by which you make a vote or a collective vote, I mean, there are other people in the race who are offering things that are substantially different to Biden. In fact, I haven't heard Biden offer the people of South Carolina anything. His campaign seems to be predicated on the assumption that he just has to show up and these black people will somehow defend him, you know, for a racist, right? I think at best, they might have been thinking that there could be, and the argument about trying to defeat Trump is not enough. We have always had some type of Trump figure in the White House. That cannot be enough. That cannot be a measure as to how you're going to vote and vote 60% of your population to support a man who is basically no different substantively than Donald Trump is. So, I mean, that type of rationale, you know, I'm not swayed by that, right? But my basic reasoning is that the people in South Carolina, their minds are located in a bygone era, right? They're thinking like they would have thought about these matters 200 or 300 years ago, yeah? And that's the only way that I could justify that type of circumstance.
Well, there's another point to be made, I think, and that is, what was going to be the alternative? The Democratic Party has fielded, in fact, Amy Klobuchar is quitting the race as we speak, but the party itself in this round is most pitiful in terms of how it shepherds or how it is shepherding the selection process. You would think that the party by now, I mean, you can't come up and encourage a new slate of candidates. You, it's the same old people, you know, a little bit older and a little bit tireder. You have nothing else to offer. And for the black leadership, especially the local black leadership, I'm referring to Clyburn, who, I mean, he worked like a team of horses to deliver the black vote. It was, to me, a major, major disappointment, this election of Joe Biden in South Carolina in this election year.
But you treat Clyburn is no more than a glorified house nigger. I mean, I think we should call these people by their right name.
Oh, that's not kind.
Well, I intended not to be. You know, I think we should call these people by their right names. I mean, you have herded 60% of your people into a particular political camp from which they've never received any benefit. yeah, and they're unlikely to receive any benefits in the future, right? And you claim to be some type of leading black. I mean, you know, look, these everybody, including the voters, just want to maintain a status quo. A status quo that they may feel comfortable with, but a status quo from which they gain nothing from and will never gain anything from, right? And that is seen, that type of collective behavior, imagination, is seen as being, you know, a loyal American, is dressed up in all types of fanciful idiom in order to self-appease, right? But at the end of the day, this is about making sure that the system remains the same. Look, and secondly, I mean, I think that Bernie Sanders is substantively different to Biden, you know? And if I were to vote, you know, even if you're dealing with the lesser of evils, you know, Bernie Sanders would be more likely to receive my vote in the circumstances of South Carolina than a Biden. I mean, this seems totally illogical to me.
Well, this is why I asked the question, why? I mean, he gets, almost automatically, he gets the imprimatur of the black votes in South Carolina, and you ask, well, why? Why is this, what is this automatic business about? It doesn't work in any other constituency except constituencies of color, where it is to be assumed that the vote is so predictable, you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then they make, they do the work.
And the problem is that if you look at the way forward for Biden, meaning what's going to happen today and tomorrow and maybe Wednesday, I mean, you know, it seems a nullity to me for the people of South Carolina to invest their time, energy, and vote into a man's campaign who is not paying any attention, really, to the 14 states that are going to come up on Wednesday, and is not likely to play to be a medium winner in those 14 states. I mean, why would you go into this type of political cul-de-sac? And Ed says, talks about people don't understand politics. There's nothing magical about politics, you know? I mean, politics, we do politics every day. I mean, there are all types of politics. Politics is included in everything. When I'm talking to you, know this is politics, you know? For instance, you wouldn't want me to use swear words, for instance, you know, and I wouldn't. You know, that is politics. I mean, politics is in everything. There's nothing that can go that is absent of politics, right? So you don't need any special knowledge, or, you know, you don't need to be a political scientist to be able to discern what's happening here.
All right. Well, you've had your say, and I thank you for calling in to contribute it. Pat from New Jersey, you're on the air. Why are we having so many disturbances? Jay from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Jay, you're on the air.
Yes, can you hear me? Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in.
You know, basically, Dutrice, what this whole thing boiled down to is the so-called guidance of misleadership who are trying to protect their so-called position as head Negroes in charge of black people. That's all it is. They really have no honest foundation to give support to Joe Biden or any other of these politicians based on their body of work. If you really be honest about it, here it is, you're backing a man like Joe Biden, who basically has some things in his past that has been done to black people that you should never support or never give him your support. Like Ed said earlier, he's as one would call our favorite cousin, because our other favorite cousin has been hanging out with him for years, a.k.a. Barack Obama. Why is it that just because he was so-called Barack Obama's right-hand man that he gets a pass to lead black people when he's done some real notorious things to black people until Obama selected him? So whereby, because he was with Obama, I now have to forgive him for the things that he's done to my community and to my people? I just don't understand it, and I'll never understand it. But this is what our so-called leadership offers us, because they really have nothing else to offer us. So whereby I must now accept someone of the nature of Joe Biden, that's crazy. But we won't even take an honest look at someone like Bernie Sanders, who has his own issues, but are at least trying to place us in a position to survive in a country that is not getting better, but getting worse. The reality is, democratic socialism is going to have to be an integral part of this society if people are able to survive with the changing dynamics of employment in this country. So if we don't begin to start understanding that, then we're in for a world of trouble, because the amount of jobs over the next 20 years is not going to be sustained to keep up with the population. So then what happens to all of the people that can't get jobs? Do we just forget about them?
Well, I just asked a question.
I just asked a question.
If anybody could explain the logic of what happened in South Carolina. You have an election, and you have people going out and, you know, beating the bushes to get the votes out for Joe Biden. I just want to know why.
Eutrice, to be honest with you, he's just a better slave master. That's all he is. In their eyes, he's just a better slave master. He doesn't bring anything to the table for you to even vote for him, for you to even think that he could honestly lead you in the development, in the growth of this country. Honestly. He's no better than Trump. He just may be a little more kinder than Trump, but he's no better than Trump. So whereby, when you place him in front in the world stage, you don't have no real idea on what he may do. Always remember this. When you talk about what is good for the black community towards the eyes of our politicians, it's really all about what's good for them and how they can sustain their position. It's not really about the community, because if you look at how they go along with passing certain legislations and things of that nature that are against the black and minority communities and never form.
Oh, what happened? Jay, you're gone. Are you there? No, Jay's gone. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Well, I see from the lineup here, we have quite a few people who have not yet spoken. So this discussion will carry over till tomorrow. I'll have to figure out what's going on with me having too many interruptions and people re-losing people on the air. I don't understand that. I'm not a tech person, but we should try and find out why we're losing people. All right. I thank you all for calling. And I thank who was it who raised it? I believe it was Bruce, for thinking that the question was a very powerful question. Simple, but powerful. That's how I like to ask questions. Why? Why? And then people start searching for answers when the answers were there all along. I want to remind you that I did forecast this, and I did say that the Democratic Party was going for broke on making sure that Joe Biden will win. I did tell you that. However, Bernie Sanders seems to have interrupted that so far. So we'll see. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again to each other tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.